And I'm very excited and expectant about the Rock of Ages, and especially so tonight, because the man who's going to be sharing God's word with us is the man who's coordinated the Rock of Ages for the many previous years and currently is the director for the Rock of Ages, and that's our own Reverend Bill Weingarner. Here's a man who stood faithful to the word over the years. He took the class back in 1970 in the town of Columbus, Ohio, and like so many of our people in leadership who've gotten involved, he went out WW ambassador. He was on the first wave of WWs, later got involved with the ministry as a branch leader, an area leader, became active and involved full-time, and then later came on staff where he coordinated the work for Rock of Ages and our WWs, and currently is a member of the President's Cabinet here on staff, overseeing the Rock of Ages, our purchasing department, and our big, wonderful warehouse we have out there, the OSC Center, you know, just loaded with space and all sorts of goodies to help move God's Word. A wonderful man who's committed to the move of God's Word, like many of our people are, Reverend Bill Weingarner.
Yes, you may be seated. It's always an exciting opportunity to have the privilege of sharing God's word, especially from this particular podium. And I, along with many of the other teachers who do have an opportunity to share from this particular location, thank Dr. Rurwell and the Board of Trustees for the privilege. One of the things that have always excited me about the Word of God is the simplicity of the Word. I have a favorite scripture, which is Hosea 4:6, for my people have been destroyed for a lack of knowledge. I have it imprinted on the front of my Bible. And I think it's this great truth that has enabled me, and I know many others, to open the Word of God and read it and learn something, gain a particular knowledge, find out where it is that we have been destroyed in our individual lives. When Dr. Rurwell and Reverend Townsend first asked me to share the Word tonight, the first thing that hit my head, what I would really like to share and what was on my heart, was in the field of health and healing. Because it's one of those truths, one of those factors that really, when it gets ingrained in your heart and you see it in the Word and it becomes manifest in your life, that is that gnoskoing, that experiential knowledge that makes the Word live for you. It made it live for me. Even though from a sense knowledge standpoint, I have never been, in quote, unhealthy. I've never been sick other than a common cold any day of my life. I have never had the privilege of visiting one of our wonderful hospitals other than to be born. I think I was so happy to get out of there then that I have never made a return trip and don't plan to. There are some keys that are shared in the foundational class. And to develop a knowledge of the Word so it becomes living for you, it's always tremendous to go back to those keys that are set forth in the class. And one of the first things that you learn in the Power for Abundant Living class is that you must know what is available. In this particular study, I want to go back to what was available prior to the new birth. So if you will join me in Deuteronomy chapter 28, I'd like to start there in verse 15. As you know, this part of the word was addressed to the children of Israel, the believers of that time. They were under a little system called the laws. They were under the law. And in verse 15, they have a startling fact set forth before them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I commanded thee this day, that all the curses, but all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Now, that's rather an ominous verse. So we better read on a little bit to find out what some of those are. Because as these individuals were confronted with this situation, if they did not hearken unto the voice of the Lord God, these things were going to happen to them. And as we, the believers of today, have learned through experience, that God doesn't monkey around much. When he says something will happen, it invariably happens, no matter how much we don't desire for it to happen. The children of Israel, I think, were even more cognizant of this fact than we are today. The cause and effect. What they did, there was no grace abounding as we know it today. So when they blew it, when they did not hearken, it came very rapidly. In verse 22, the Lord shall smite thee with a consumption. Well, I'd like to digress here for a few seconds and explain something that was a thrill to me to learn in the Power for Abundant Living class. And that is a little thing called figures of speech. And when you relate that to our present day existence, the analogy I think hits closest for me is that if we drive down the highway and we see a 55 mile an hour speed limit, we decide we'll turn on the old CB radio and we'll put the hammer down, move it up to 65 or 70. But once in a while, the reports don't come through quite as nicely as we would like them to. And lo and behold, we look in the rear vision mirror and we see one of those little bubblegum machines going around. And if we don't hearken unto that visual sight, we hear this ominous sound come from behind us and we pull over. Well, when we relate this to our friends, we always say that the Smokey arrested me. Sometimes we even get a little more adjectives involved in, and we call him a lousy so-and-so arrested me. This is the same thing you see in the Word when it says down here, the Lord shall smite thee. It's that hand of protection has been taken away because they did not hearken unto the Word. They did not hearken unto the voice of the Lord their God. And they brought this consequence upon themselves because they were without God's protection. The same as we have the protection of the law as long as we are within it. When we decide to take ourselves beyond that particular speed limit, we are without hope, I guess. Especially if the man happens to be hiding in the grass there on the side. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption. And with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with a sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. Now that doesn't sound like a lot of fun. But see, even when that was set forth to the people, we know that they did not hearken unto the Lord because they got that. They got that consequence. Let's jump over to verse 27. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emrods, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness, and blindness, and astonishment of heart. In verse 28, well, if that isn't enough, let's go over to verse 35, find out what else was available. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees, and in the legs, with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. Some of us have a botch on the top of our heads. I guess that's what causes that. Moreover, in verse 60, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Verse 61, also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. Now, it doesn't seem like the odds are very much in your favor if you do not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And yet we know from reading other accounts in the Old Testament that many of the children of Israel did not hearken, and these particular goodies came upon them. Well, what's available to us today? That was what was available. Let's look at what is available to us. Let's go back into the New Testament, into the third epistle of John. See one of the promises that is set forth. The third epistle of John, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. God wants us to prosper and be in health. Now, this is a positive way of stating particular form of life that we should be involved in, one of the promises of God, that we prosper and be in health. Well, as I look deeper into that particular verse and thinking about health, I went to the Young's Concordance and I looked up the word health, and this is what I discovered. And I am not a very good Greek scholar, so you'll have to hang in there with me while I try to pronounce this word for you. It is spelled H-U-G-I-A-I-N-O with a long line over the O. It's huginio, or huginio, I guess. And it is pronounced one time health. It is pronounced several times to be sound, and then in parentheses, in health, to be sound, S-O-U-N-D, not noise, but sound in the essence of being whole. And I'd like to look at a few scriptures. Let's go to Luke first. And we want to run through some of these verses and see how this word is used when it's referring to be in health. Luke 15 and verse 27. It says, and he said unto him, thy brother is come. Now, you know, I'll refresh your memory. This is the account of the prodigal son, or the loving father, if you've ever heard that tremendous teaching. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. That word sound is that same word that is used in prosper and be in health, the word health. So to be sound, he has received him safe and sound in health. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words. This is in the category of renewing your mind. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and believing in love which is in Christ Jesus. Now, when you think about that word sound, relate it to health, and relate it then back to this verse, hold forth, or hold fast the form of sound words, the Word of God. And it starts to paint a picture for you of what we're talking about, of what this word health means in being prosperous and being in health. Let's go to chapter 4 and verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That sound, once again, is that type of doctrine, or that particular doctrine which has got its act together, it's whole, it's sound. It's not going to change on you. It's not going to be variable. It's truth. That whole thing is together. Titus, chapter 1. Again, this is a little word study on this particular Greek word. Titus 1, verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers, or the self-contradictors. That sound doctrine, once again, solid, together, it doesn't break down, it's healthy. It's full of life, it's full of vitality. Over in verse 13, this witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Once again, that same Greek word, that soundness, that wholeness, that having the act together. And this is what God's telling us, that we may prosper and be in health, be in this soundness, live in this soundness. Chapter 2, verse 1. Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, healthy doctrine. Verse 2, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in the family faith, in charity, in the love of God, in patience. again, further painting that picture of being sound, being in health, being whole, having that whole completeness there. You can't break it. It's unbreakable because it is sound. The word is also translated to be whole in various places. And it's to be whole, meaning to be well in health, not sozo, but being whole, being complete, having all the little parts together, being well in health. And for that, I'd like to go back to Luke chapter 7 and in verse 10. Luke 7, verse 10. Just once again to see this, how this ties together, painting this picture of health. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. This is the account of the centurion that came in and wanted his servant healed. This wholeness here. And he found his servant whole. That's after Christ ministered to him. He found his servant whole because of the believing that was involved. All right, back to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And in the 6th chapter of 1 Timothy, verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and cannot consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Again, talking about that wholeness, being in light of wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. What words could be more wholesome? How much more complete could they be? That's that health we're looking at, that word that's translated health in 3 John 2. All right, let's jump back to Luke again. It is also translated in one place to be safe, a safeness. Luke chapter 15 and in verse 27 of Luke 15. And he said unto him, thy brother is come. This is the same verse we were in before, but I want you to see how this thing ties together here. And thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he has received him safe, which is at hugenio, and sound, to be safe. He received him safe. He got him back. He had been out in left field. He'd been out in what we refer to as hog country now. It's kind of a little idiom, I guess, we've picked up in the ministry. But that son pulled himself out of the protection of his heavenly or of his earthly father. He got himself out there. He tripped out, whatever jargon you want to put on it. Anyhow, he pulled himself away from his earthly father's protection. And he went down the tubes. He went down the drain. He fell away. He got down into the gutter. He got out in hog country. And he had brought him back when he finally saw the light. And he came back whole. He came back safe. He came back sound altogether. And that's what blessed his father so much. Well, you'll never guess what caused the transition between what was and what is available. The man Jesus Christ, of course. But that was precipitated by God. God really was the individual that brought this whole thing to pass, because God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son. And Jesus Christ accomplished some tremendous things for us. But before I get into that, I'd like to look again at the history of healing in the Word. I want to show you something that I found in my Word study that really settled in my heart, and it showed me a tremendous amount of difference and clarity between what was available to the people of Israel, where God, Jehovah, was their healer, and the situations in which the Word refers to healing and how things happened in that time. Prior to the coming of Jesus Christ, in this particular time that I'm talking about, we find the word Jehovah Rapha, R-A-P-H-A. And that word Rapha means to repair. Now that's a little bit different, and I'll be pointing out things about another word, therapeuo, which means to attend to the healing or to attend to, and the word Ima, I-A-M-A, which means healing. Booms, right away, quick. It happens, instantaneous. In the Old Testament, you find the word Rapha meaning repairing. It's like an automobile. Boy, if you could walk out and minister to your automobile and it would run perfectly. Not many people are capable of doing that today, so we spend a lot of time repairing our automobiles, patching them up. Let's go back to and in chapter 15. I think this is set beautifully here in the Word. Chapter 15, verse 26. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon Egypt, for I am the Lord that healeth thee, that repaireth thee. And is referring back to the curses we talked about in Deuteronomy, what was going to happen when they did not hearken unto the voice of the Lord. And here God is saying, if you will come back, if you will diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right, I will repair thee. Let's go to 1 Kings, and then we'll move on to 2 Kings. I want to go to 2 Kings chapter 20. Look at an account in there. In the 20th chapter of 2 Kings, verse 5, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee, I will repair thee. On the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. Let's jump down to verse 8. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, will repair me? It's this word, Rapha, R-A-P-H-A. Let's go to Psalms, and let's go to the 30th Psalm first. Verse 2. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed, thou hast Rapha, thou hast repaired me. Another Psalm, 103. Very dear to the heart of many people in the ministry, this particular psalm. This is that psalm that Dr. Ruwall put on tape for Howard Allen and just played over and over when he was so close to death. Verse 3. Well, I'll just read the first three verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who repaireth all thy diseases. Psalm 107. This was one of the Rock of Ages theme verses a few years back. 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them. He sent his word and repaired them. So we can see in these accounts that there has been some direct intervention where the repair work was done. But we also see that that word was there. The reading, the understanding, the doing of the word, hearkening unto the voice of the Lord thy God, brought about this repairing, this healing. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. And another one in Psalm 147, in verse 3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Again, these are these Old Testament accounts that I want you to get a mind picture of, that repairing, because they got themselves out of fellowship because they were under the curse of the law. But this repairing process took place as they brought themselves back home, back to God. What happened with Jesus Christ coming then? Let's move into the gospel section of the word and see the word that's translated health there. It's the word therapeuo, which means to attend to. Now, we also find in the Gospels accounts of where there were instantaneous healings. But I got real excited as I saw the attendance to it. Made a lot of verses become alive to me. Because in some of these situations where there were tremendous multitudes, where Jesus Christ, it said that he healed the people. And it always kind of boggled my mind a little bit to see, you know, how could that man get through thousands of people? But as I started reading these things, I saw how he could do it by attending to them, by teaching them the word healing them, other people in the body healing them, working with them. And let's go to Matthew 8. I'm going to start there. This was the great time of Jesus Christ's healing ministry here on the face of the earth. And in verse 7, and Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Chapter 8, verse 7. This is again is the account of that centurion talking about the servant. Verse 16. And when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed or attended to all that were sick. Chapter 9. Let's look at verse 35 in chapter 9 of Matthew. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing or attending to every sickness and every disease among the people. Chapter 10, we'll read another one. Verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal or to attend to all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. Verse 8. Heal the sick, attend to the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely have received, freely give. These are some of those accounts of that therapeuo, that attending to. Remember in the Old Testament, Rapha, that repairing. Jesus Christ attending to, handling, working the word, teaching the word, bringing light, dispelling darkness because of the word, because of his physical presence, because of ministering to people. And then the other accounts, which I don't want to get into tonight, where there are instances of the immediate healing, that word that's spelled I-A-O-M-A-I. I won't even endeavor to pronounce that one for you. But it means healed. Right away, bumps quick, as Dr. Rowell said. Something that's instantaneous. The healing is right there. And let's look at 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. With that new birth, with the confessing of the Lord Jesus, was confessing Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, believing in your heart God raised him from the dead, that instantaneous healing. That's what's available to us today. The first that I shared with you was what was available and what happened with prior to Jesus Christ. The second instance that I shared with you is while Jesus Christ was here. The third instance, and what I'm getting into now, is that instantaneous healing, that delivery, which came with the new birth because of what Jesus Christ did, what he wrought, what he brought to pass for us. Let's go back to Matthew 8:8 and quickly show you this same verse that we talked about where there was an instantaneous healing while he was attending to. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant, my doulos, shall be healed. Again, that's the believing of that centurion. The therapeuo, the ministering to, the attending to, and the believing of the centurion for his servant for that instantaneous deliverance. There's also another account in 2 Corinthians, and this is a derivation of the word I-A-O-M-A-I, and this word is I-A-M-A, and it's referring to the manifestation of healing. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's a wonderful verse, but I think I want to be back in 1 Corinthians 12. I think I'm going to get to that one here shortly. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith, manifestation of believing by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing. This is that word I-A-M-A. It's only used three times in the word. This particular verse 9 is one of them. Verse 28 is another one. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And it's also used in verse 30, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. This is that word I-A-M-A. And it's the word I-A-O-M-A-I, which is referring to that instantaneous healing. Let's turn back to Matthew 8 again. We can see that the great transition here is Jesus Christ. Well, what did Jesus Christ do? What was that transformation? What happened? Matthew 8:17. Well, let's back up to verse 16. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken of by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. This is what Jesus Christ did. This is what caused that transition from the time when we were under the curse of the law. He destroyed that. So in Matthew 8:17, he took our infirmities. He took our infirmities. He bore our sicknesses. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, he was made sin for us. In 1 Peter 2:24, he bore our sins. In Colossians 2:14, he blotted out the ordinances which were contrary to us. Y'all remember those verses from the foundational class? They're all in there. They're real simple. My people are destroyed by a lack of knowledge. Putting the word in perspective on a particular subject like healing, like health, working a word study, following these words through, getting an understanding deep inside of your heart can bring tremendous deliverance to you. Because, as we said before, as the word said before, he sent his word and healed them. Not only those people in the Old Testament, but to you and I today. He took all that upon himself. By his stripes we were healed. I guess if I had to put a title on this particular teaching, God has made us healthy would be it. And yet there are times in our daily walk or we still have colds. We still get sick. We still don't walk sharply. Another thing I think I saw as I grew in the ministry and spent time in the ministry and working in the WOW program and with the WOWs around the country, where you really get to work these principles, is the simple truth came to light in my life. And I would like to share it with you. And that is that part of the biblical research of the ministry is you and I. I guess I had the same questions that many people had the first time they came to Way International Headquarters, is looking for the research tank or where it was that all this great research was done. But you know, a lot of the research is done in our very own individual lives. Dr. Ruhl, through the Power for Abundant Living class, teaches us the Word. There are many truths that he knows that we don't know. There are many truths that individuals in the ministry knows that everybody doesn't know yet. Because we all have our own life. We all have our own walk with God. But a lot of the research, and this is so important, one of the real important factors of the Way Tree, of bringing things back to the ministry so that we as a biblical research and teaching ministry can learn from each other's walks, each other's lives, a greater depth of the Word. But you and I are part of the tremendous research team because we live the Word. So why is it that sometimes, or the majority of the time after we get born again, we're healthy? But then every once in a while, something slips in, and we get a cold, or we bump our head. Now, sometimes it's very apparent. We're doing things silly. We're doing things we're not supposed to. You can't play basketball outside when it's 22 degrees and sprinkling rain and a pair of gym shorts, and then come into an air-conditioned building and not properly take care of yourself, and, you know, feel like, well, maybe I got a little chill and I shouldn't have got because I'm believing. Well, our simple actions are that we aren't believing. We aren't even using any common sense that we know how to take care of our bodies. Our bodies will absorb tremendous shock, but those things we've really got to get ingrained in ourselves. So in researching the Word, we need to start to discover why these things happen. Why is it that the majority of the time we're healthy? And I think we can all say that in our lives. We've seen it happen, and yet from time to time we get burned, we get caught. Where is it? And if we search with our minds, we search the Word, we look for principles of the Word, we can bring ourselves up and out of that particular dilemma. But the one thing that we know is by His stripes ye were healed. Positive statement. No doubt about it. God doesn't lie. Our lives aren't perfect walks yet. We're endeavoring to that end. Now, do we want to spend time being in condemnation by having a cold or being unhealthy? No. What we want to do is discover why we are not healthy 24 hours a day. We were healed. Positive statement. There's no variableness with God. He does not change. So the fault lies within our understanding of the Word, our application of the Word, bringing to pass, rising ourselves up to that level of believing and walk which God made available through Christ Jesus. He bore our sins. He bore our sicknesses. He took our iniquities. He nailed them to the cross. They're all over and they're all done with. He was the end of the law. He was the end to all those cursings that we started out this teaching with. Those things that were available. You know, there are three ways to receive the healing or to build the knowledge of the healing into our lives. Number one is the Word. Number one is the Word. Psalms 107, verse 20. He sent His Word and healed them. Number two is the discernment of the Lord's body, which is the Holy Communion, you know, your understanding of the Holy Communion, of the broken body and shed blood. What did Jesus Christ accomplish? This is the way we get healing in our lives, from the Word, from Holy Communion, and then also from ministering. One of the manifestations that was given to us, to the body of Christ, so that we could help one another. And of course, all this is intermingled and sprinkled with believing. We know that that's axiomatic. That's all involved in that situation, bringing things to pass. But God has set this all forward for us. So, let's try to capsulize this. To receive anything from God, right? Must know what is available. Well, what is available from 3 John? Prosperity and health. I desire that you be, that you prosper and be in health. The next question is, how to receive it? Three ways. The Word, communion, and ministering. I guess I have to say sprinkle all over with a good dose of believing. Like a lot of people put cayenne pepper, it gets it all hot, gets it working for you. And the third thing is what to do with it after you've got it. And for that, I would like to go back to 2 Corinthians. You know, one of the things that continually blesses me as I hear it more and more, Reverend Vince Finnegan referred to it again today and tonight, about the love of God See, it's the love of God. It's the tenderness of God that is applicable in his life, in the giving of the word. It's that same love of God that was applicable in Jesus Christ's life, in his walk, of his taking all these sins, all the iniquities upon himself. It's that love of God there. It's the love of God in the Holy Communion, the discernment of the Lord's body. And it's the love of God. It's that manifestation. Because of God's love, he gave us the manifestations. As we build ourselves spiritually by speaking in tongues, by growing in a knowledge of the word, by walking in believing, by walking in love, by walking in tenderness, that we're capable to minister to one another to bring those results. To keep solidly in our mind as believers that there is no condemnation. Condemnation is a waste of God's time, and it's a waste of your and my time. Because God has made us healthy, and we need to rise up to that calling. What's available? Prosperity and health. How to receive it? The word, communion, ministry. And in chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. And this is, of course, that account where we were talking about the messengers of Satan. God's talking about them. I guess we're reading about them. And Paul's saying, why don't you help me out of this predicament? And God says, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. The word weakness is the word humility. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's what we do with it. We rest in the power and the strength of God. Okay? Heavenly Father, we thank you once again this night for the great simplicity of your word, for your love, your kindness, your tender mercy, that we can walk hand in hand with you and with each other, that we can continue to grow in biblical research, Father, by learning how to apply the words so that we can rise up to what you made available to us in Christ Jesus. And I thank you this night, Father, as each person just believes in their heart the word that has been shared and understands the great tenderness and the love that you have shed upon each one of us, that their lives will be healed, that every infirmity will be gone, and that truly, Father, we do believe and act on the manifestations which you have given to each and every one of us, that we can help each other live up to the greatness of what you have called us to. And I thank you this night, Father, for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.